That's right. Oh, what God's done for us. What God's done for us. Isn't it wonderful? Amen. What's He done for you this morning? Huh? 5 years ago, Sue and Robert sat back there with one child in the house of God. Petted. Today they got the whole smear. Whole outfit, buddy. The whole outfit. I'm gonna tell you one reason why you cannot go wrong with doing right. Huh? Did you know that they put their boy out of the house when he was just a young boy because he wouldn't live right? You know, I didn't know this till just last night. Brother Steve was telling me that the first time his daddy caught him dipping snuff, it was on. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about living right, friend. It'll pay off somewhere down the road. You better believe it'll pay off somewhere down the road. That's right. Now, and there's a whole family in the house of God. Huh? Praise God, I tell you, I ain't got them all here, but they somewhere in church this morning. If I find out they ain't, I guarantee, that ain't good language, that'd be good preaching. If I find out they ain't, I guarantee you it'll be on, buddy. Huh? That's right. I told Benny, I said, you try to lay out on God and lay away from God. I said, I'll track you down like a bloodhound, boy, and whoop you. I'm an old man and feeble, but if I had to, I'd sneak up on him on the backside. I'd probably have to. But I'd spank him, bless God, that he couldn't walk. Somebody said, would you? Like I said the other night, in case you wasn't here, the last time I spanked him, I believe he was 16 years old, the last time he took a spanking. And he never tried, he never bucked it, not one time, didn't buck it. He bent over and took it like a champ, buddy. All right, somebody said, oh, you'll warp their minds. Now, I'm going to tell you what you'll do. You'll warp their butt. You don't have to worry about warping their mind. Warp their hind end, son. Amen. That's right. Somebody said, I wouldn't talk like that if I was up there. I know you wouldn't. That's why I'm here and you're sitting out there. Because God knew I would and you won't. Huh? God help us, buddy. To do right and live right. Well, I don't know. I'm going to try to preach a little while if God will help me this morning. I trust that He will. I know I'm not on yet, Brother Doug. And I'm going to try to preach a little while if God will help me this morning. Let's stand together. Our Bible's open to the Song of Solomon. Amen. We're going to pick right up where we left off 2 weeks ago. You know, last week we had Brother Wells preaching and Brother Thompson preaching. And today, Brother Hall's going to try a little bit. Song of Solomon. And you pray for me. I'm tired, for one thing. But more than that, I'm stirred up. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like I'm wired to an electric wire or something. And sometimes that's good when you're preaching. Sometimes that's not good. If you need to preach, you'll get all wired up. And get messed up and then boogered up and then you can't preach. And sometimes you get wired up like that and you can preach. I mean, I feel so tight right now and wired up, I believe I could run 25 miles. I mean, just go, man. Just hit it and go. And amen, brother David. I don't know if we're going to make it or not, folks. Amen. Right, I can identify that.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You mind God now.
Amen.
Yeah, brother.
Amen.
Really. Oh, yeah. Miss Hall and I was driving up the road the other day, and I said something about Ricky and Kelly, got talking about them, about what they'd been through. And I told Mrs. Hall, I said, "Sweetheart, we have never lost a child." Now, I'm going to tell you, you don't know what you would do until you've walked in the same shoes somebody else has walked in. You don't know how you're going to respond to things. Have no earthly idea how you're going to respond to things. Now, we can brag and talk big. I mean, we got us human beings have got big mouths. And with those big mouths, we can speak great swelling words. But I'm going to tell you something. The rubber meets the road, buddy, when the chickens come home to roost. That's right. We'll know then how we'll act when the chickens get home, get in the hen house. You mind God. It, don't you? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Sure it is. Yeah. Yes. I believe we got a little bit of it in here this morning. Heaven came down. Glory has filled my soul. Yes. Get no hurry. Just mind God. We have got all day long. Somebody said my roast will burn. Don't worry about your roast. This is the Lord's day, friend. Somebody get some help. And I don't care how they get it, as long as they get it.
Ah. Well, Lord, oh my, hallelujah. All that's
like it, don't you? We get some back in the other building shouting now, I'm praising God. Get a little of that heavenly honey on these new pews. Right. Get a little honey out of the rock. A little sweetener for my soul on this new carpet. Yeah! I've been waiting for it too long to turn the spigot off now, son. I ain't about to turn it off. Yes! Something for you. I'm talking about a need, friend. I'm talking about God meeting a need in your life. Something that you couldn't do, mom and daddy couldn't do, the preacher couldn't do, nobody could do. It took God in your life to do it. That's why you can act like this. That's why you can carry on like this, friend. And if God's done it, you can carry on all you want to carry on. Say something, boy. It's kind of hard to sow the seed when the winds are blowing. Go ahead, Brother Wayne.
Come on. just got on my knees and prayed one morning before coming to church. I said, what am I doing coming to church? What's going to become of this? What's going on? God just showed me, says, accept the advice. And Brother Hall preached that morning. I said, would you show me something this morning? He said, accept the advice in the shift. I was ready to kick out on God. I said, what's the use of coming to church anymore? Nothing going on in my life. I've been to Henry's for the service. But that stuck with me ever since you preached that
name. Thank God I stuck with him.
Brother Smith turned them in to me and said, there they are. Said, there they are. Said, I'm resigning my preaching ministry. Said, just tear them up and throw them in the trash. Now, I'm going to tell you, some of you people don't believe in pastoral authority. You don't believe in pastoral leadership, pastoral discernment. But I'm going to tell you what the Holy Ghost said. Holy Ghost said, lay them back. He'll be back after them later on down the road. And so now they are. Hallelujah to God. Yes. And when they was struggling and going through hell, some of y'all thought they washed up. What's wrong? Hey. Well, I'm going to tell you, you rebuke a wise man and he'll keep on learning. How that book. Hallelujah to God. There they are, Brother Wayne. Anytime you want them, son. They're right there. Somebody said we have to vote on it. Why? We never did vote to take them back. I'll have to stand up here to hug you, little short thing. If I preach, I'm going to need a little help now. Don't exert it all. Don't expend everything you got. Don't shoot the whole. Don't shoot every round you got, all right? It takes hard to preach down something like this, and I'm trying to get right. I'm trying to find God.
Thank God.
Some of you other young people need to get God and get that same testimony. Amen. I don't know what to do, boy. Thank God for a big lighthouse.
Jesus.
I'm going to do one or two things. I'm either going to preach and we're going home for the day, or else we're going home and come back and preach tonight. And I don't know which one to do. Yeah. Go on, Brother Andy. He loves you.
Do y'all think about how he brought me down here? Wasted in my life.
Yes.
Thank you for that. I'm probably thinking every day I can't give up the word good enough.
No, you never will be able to. I've been saved over 30 years and I can't come up with the word yet. I'm just glad he loves sinners. I got the preachers going with this tonight. Yes, ma'am. Yes, she is. Just try to thank him. Let the mule out of the barn. Open up the barn door. You can thank him. Open her up. Y'all better not come down too low now. I got to preach. I'm going to see if there's any God in preaching. If there is, we'll preach. And if not, well, we'll go home and come tonight and preach it. We'll just try to do what God wants, all
right?
Go on, gentlemen. You ain't going to bother me. I like it. Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. Song of Solomon in chapter number 5. We're going to read the first two verses this morning. Try to bring the thought that God... And I'm going to tell you something. What I'm preaching on, unless God get in it, it ain't going to be quite like we've been shouting on, okay?
Amen.
So we're going to preach what God's laid on our heart. If He'll let me, if He won't, we'll come tonight in a different spirit and attitude and preach it, okay? Verse number 1, the Bible said, I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I've drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that reading, and we'll bow our heads in a moment of prayer. And if God will let me preach, we'll preach and go home and rest tonight. And I'm about wore out. We didn't leave here till 3 o'clock this morning. Got back up at 6:30. I'm a tad bit tired. But we're gonna mind God one way or the other, whatever God says. If He wants us back here tonight, we'll crawl in on nubs if we have to on our knees. You know what I'm saying? Get to the house of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your presence in this place today. Thank You for Your people and the help that You've been to them already. Thank You for the grace that's been bestowed. My, how gracious a Lord that we serve. I marvel at the good grace of God. How You can reach down by grace and lift fallen sinners out of their depravity. Transgressors we are. Sinners we are. And yet we abide in Thy love. That amazes me, Lord. I'm thankful that You've met with us in this place today and touched our heart and moved our soul. And Lord, I'm thankful for the privilege just to praise You and worship You one more time. You know what the mind of the Lord would be for the service, the remainder of it. I pray that You'd help Brother Hall. I don't want to intrude upon anything that God would have in mind for this church. I want to be obedient to the Spirit of God. I pray that You'd help me to be very sensitive, that I might know Thy will. I pray that You'd give me grace if You'd let me preach and fill me with the Spirit of God. Anoint me, Lord, with fresh oil, that I might preach to Your people. I know You love them. You've gathered them into this place this morning. They might hear the Word of God, even the gospel of their soul. Help us now to magnify Your wonderful name. Save old sinners, Lord, by the good grace of God. Again, bless the preacher, I pray. Give me the power, the liberty, the unction that I need. And Lord, we need something extra. I pray that You'll produce it for the glory and honor of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I want to read verse number 2 again, where the Bible, this is the church speaking. And she said, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I want to preach if God will help me, and I hope that He will, or it'll be a sad morning for us if He don't. But I want to preach for a little while, if God will help me, on the thought, sleeping eyes. If you'll notice there in verse number 2, the words of the church or the bride, the first two words that she mentions is, she says, I sleep. She does not try to cover that up. She acknowledges that before the Lord and readily admits that she is in somewhat of a sluggish and a sleepy type of spiritual conditioning. Now, and that is worthy to note that because in the preceding verses that we've been reading through, we have found there that the church has been in Christ's banqueting house. Now, that's about where we've been in the house of God this morning. You know, there is nothing like coming to church and feasting on the riches of the grace of God. Now, I'll tell you, grace can spread a table in the wilderness that you and I can delight our souls in if we'll come to church with an expectant spirit, the right kind of an attitude, and trust in God to do great and mighty things for us. He will do that. And in these the previous verses, we find the church there in the Lord's banqueting house. They have enjoyed very close communion. Now, I'll tell you, there's nothing like closing the door and shutting out the world and everybody else and just spending time alone with the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, I love my wife, but my friend, if a push come to shove and God was to call her home, I'm sure He'd give me enough grace to live without her. But I'm telling you, I cannot, and neither can you. As a Christian, we cannot live without that divine fellowship and communion that we receive from Almighty God. And so they have been in blessed communion. They have been in fellowship. They have had an intimate experience with one another. But as I read verse number 2, I find something that troubles my heart. Coming right out of that fellowship and in His divine and holy presence, that little old bride says, I sleep. I want to say this on the authority of that Scripture. It is a dangerous thing to get on the mountaintop where we've been this morning and then forget about God. Church, it's easy for us to get in that intimate place and God lift us up on the mountain of exaltation where we might worship Him and praise and adore Him. But if we're not right careful, when we come down off of that mountain, we'll find ourselves in somewhat of a complacent and a sleepy and a sluggish type attitude. Somebody said, "Preacher, do you really have a verse for that?" I'm glad you asked. What about those disciples of Christ? They sat in that upper room with Him. John even laid his head on the bosom of Christ and they enjoyed communion together. And by the way, they weren't drinking no red jiggers full of wine either, friend. No, sir. I'm telling you, we don't have wine in our communion. We have the fruit of the vine, which is grape juice. Amen and amen. But there is the 12 disciples, 11 really, around the Lord's table. There's John with his head laying in the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're in sweet communion. Can you imagine being that close to God? That you'd lay your head in His breast. You can hear His heart beat with your spiritual ears. And you can hear the slightest whisper from His mouth. I'm telling you, some of us, my friend, get so far away from God that we cannot hear Him when He calls. But here's the disciples that are in such close communion that and close enough to the Lord that they can hear the slightest whisper from His lips. Oh, they're in close communion. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It ain't long after that. When the rubber meets the road, friend, and there's work to be done, and Jesus is in the agony of His soul in the garden and praying that divine intercessory prayer, that same man, along with Peter, James, and John, find themselves, where, church? Asleep on God. I'm here to tell you that it's dangerous when we get up on the mountain or get in that divine holy place with God. If we're not right careful, we will soon lose that position of fellowship that we have enjoyed in the Lord. I wonder if that's not what happened in 96. Son, when we went into orbit for 5 weeks in a row, climbed the walls, run the aisle, jumped the pews. God met with us every night. But son, it wasn't long after that till the roller coaster started going down. Now, it's had a little incline ever since, but it's been basically like NASDAQ, son. It's been going down all year. And I'm afraid that we found ourselves exactly where the church is in Solomon 5:2. She said, "Ah, sleep, my friend." Oh, I'll tell you, we need to be careful of that. She is fast asleep, but she's not so fast asleep that she cannot hear His voice. She said, "I sleep, but my heart waketh." Amen to God. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm glad, thank God, that we never get so far down the tube, friend, that we cannot hear the voice of God when He speaks to His young man. Oh, she said, this old outward man, this old carnal man of mine, she said, it has done. I went back on God and is fast asleep. But that regenerate man, that renewed man, that seed that remaineth in me, she said, oh, it is wide awake and listening to the call of God. You get a hold of that, friend. If you're saved, you'll never get so far down the tube God can't reach you. Yes, Brother Richard. I don't care how far down the tube you get, the voice of the Lord is able to reach you down there. That's right, ain't it? Bless His wonderful name. What about that? Yes! You ever read Matthew 25? The Bible said there's 10 virgins. 5 of them wise and 5 of them foolish. And while the bridegroom tarried, where'd you find all 10 of them, buddy? The wise ones and the foolish ones. They all slumbered and slept. But son, when the midnight cry came their way, I'm telling you, the 5 foolish virgins got up out of their slumber and said, amen to God, already with oil in their lamps, and went out to meet the bridegroom. You hear the cry? You hear that midnight cry? And I'm going to say something right there. That midnight cry is not the rapture. That's not the cry of the Lord. For the cry came from within. I believe it's the cry. I believe it is the preaching of the Word of God. When the preachers are said, He's coming, prepare to meet thy God. Have you got ready? Have you prepared to meet your God this morning? I'm telling you, He's coming. Coming again. He's coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. I don't know when, but hallelujah to God, He's coming again. He'll not send an angel, buddy. No, sir. It'll not be Gabriel or Michael that comes after Him. Neither will it be a prophet, nor a son of a prophet. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Hallelujah. And the dead in Christ shall rise out of their grave. And we'll shake the dust off our burial shroud. Wipe the dirt out of our eyeballs. When that blessed voice cries, come up hither! Amen. Now, they slumbered, they slept. She said, I sleep, but my heart waketh. Well, I'm telling you what. Can you get a hold of that? No wonder He could say, upon this rock I shall build thy church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Even that church that Ephesian church, friend, that had lost their first love, He came to them as one that walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks and hath the 7 angels in His right hand of power. Even in the last days, even in the last days that we're in now, and that Laodicean church, that was neither hot nor was it cold. It was just lukewarm. But yet He came to that church to warm their soul. Woo! I'm going to tell you, here are some preachers, they'd lead you to believe that God don't love nobody in the dispensation we're living in. Or in the last days. But I'm going to tell you something. He loved that Laodicean church as much as He did the church at Philadelphia that had the open door.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen. Woo! Yeah. Now you may be lukewarm, but you can boil. You may be slumbering, but He can arouse you, and He can raise you, bless your heart. I don't care how much of a man or woman you are, nobody ever jumps out. I don't know anybody that does. When that alarm clock goes off, about 2 seconds they're on the floor and they're just like this. Oh, no, 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 no. That alarm clock arouses you, huh? That egg sucker went off about 6:15 this morning. I said, can't be. But about 15 minutes later, I rose. I was first aroused, then I rose. Are you listening to me? Son of hey, I'm telling you, you might be in your sleep, but God's divine alarm clock can go off in your soul. When the voice of God calls and the hammer of God knocks, my friend, but God can arouse you and God can raise you from your bed of lethargy and affliction. And you know the marvelous thing, one of the marvelous things here, there is nothing in the context that even hints to why she was in this condition. Nothing. I sleep, but my heart wakes. She had just come out of communion. He had just come into his garden and gathered his myrrh and his spice. He had just eaten his honeycomb and his honey and drank his wine and his milk. And and she had invited him in. He said, I've already been there and done that. But if you want, you can come on back in and we'll do it again. It is no wonder that chapter 5, verse 1, and I said this 2 weeks ago, I'm going to change my mind. Can I do that? I said chapter 5 and verse 1 went with chapter 4. I've changed my mind. You know why? Because on the end of that, the Lord there said, oh, friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, oh, beloved. He sends an invitation for her to come right back into the garden. You know why? Because He knows that she is a sweet friend before I ever got there. Hallelujah to God. And chapter 5, verse 1 goes with chapter 5, verse 2. Bless your heart. There ain't nothing ever taken Him by surprise. I say this on the authority of the Word of God. You can rock it, lump it, hump it, bump it, dump it, don't matter. He's sovereign! And He knew her spiritual condition in chapter 5, verse 1. That's why He said, why don't you come in? Now look here, and I didn't want Him plan on preaching this. Didn't even know it, to be honest with you, just a minute ago. But He said, come in. She wouldn't get up out of the bed, so you know what Jesus done? She wouldn't come to Him, so He said, praise God, I love her so much, I think I'll just go to where she's at. Hallelujah, God, son. Oh, that's my great God. If you won't come to Him, He'll come to where you are. Somebody said, how can that be? He did when you was lost, didn't He? You couldn't get to God till He come to where you was. When I could not come to where you are, He came to me. Oh, He came to me. He came to me. When I could not come to where you are, He came to me. Woo! Hallelujah to God! I'm glad He come to me the first time. He come to me the second time. And He's coming to me again. To receive me unto Himself, that where He is, there may I be also. I'm a feeling better than a wall. Now, nothing there says that. It may have been worldly cares. You got tied up in worldly cares. It may have been carelessness. Lukewarmness. It may have been lack of spiritual exercise. She may have quit praying. She may have quit worshiping God. She may have quit praising Him. She may have quit coming to the house of God and worshiping like she ought to. Or she is not, no doubt, on the pew. She is asleep, but she is awake. She is there, but she wasn't there. It's where some of you are today. You're here, but you're not here. Because if you was here, you would hear. Won't charge you nothing for that. The Lord begins to speak and to knock, desiring entrance back into fellowship. But the text indicates that she does not desire to be awakened. She's like some of you, she was in a motel room, and she had one of them big signs hanging out on the door that said, "Do not disturb." I'm satisfied right where I'm at. That's right. But the text indicates that she did not desire to be awakened. We'd get off of I-85, was coming in on I-85, north or southbound, either one. We'd head up White Horse Road. We lived on White Horse Road. 3811 White Horse Road. 3931 was Tabernacle. We lived at 3811 White Horse Road. And we'd head up that road, and I'd be driving, and I'd say, Mrs. Hall would kind of rouse up a little bit and straighten up, and I'd say, "Lisa?" "Yes, sir." I'd say, "We're on White Horse Road." I'd say, "Tammy?" She'd say, "Yes, sir." I'd say, "Honey, we're on the White Horse Road." I'd say, "Benny? Benny? Benny?" And he'd say, "Huh?" Irritate him. Didn't want to wake up. Little children don't want to be woke up. Hey, it takes an adult, my friend, to get out of the stinking bed and be a man in his life. And it takes a spiritual man to get out of a bed of lethargy, bless God, and be a spiritual man for the glory of God. Wake up, some of you. You're sleeping eyes. I sleep. Let God wake up this morning and hear His voice. Just irritated like a little child. You know what Proverbs said? Proverbs said, "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep?" A little sleep, a little slumber, and a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come upon thee. Come as one that traveleth. And thy want as an armed man. You know what he's saying? Look here. You're want as an armed man. How many men got guns, friends, going to stand in want? He said, if you're like a sleeping man, if you're asleep on God, you're like a man that's armed. You're like Ephraim that was armed and carried bow in the day of battle. You're like an armed man, my friend, but you will not get up and defend what God's done in your life. Get up! Wake up! Get up! And I said, what am I armed with? All the armory of God. And all the armor of God. Son, you've got everything you need. You've got the Holy Ghost living in you. You've got the Word of God beside of you. You've got the church house and a man of God and friends to fellowship with. What more could a man or a woman ask for? Now, son, we got everything we need this morning. God has supplied us. It's an armor. Now, I'll be real quick. I got to the message. It's introduction. I'm trying, boys. I'm going to tell you what. I have to admit it. I'm kind of like Peter, James, and John. The Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Huh? I see three things in the text that I want to bring your attention. We're going to have. She said, "Asleep." I see, first of all, the imperfections of the saint. Don't you ever get the idea that you're perfect? I don't care what anybody tells you. She said, "I sleep, but my heart's yet awake." I'm going to tell you why she's asleep, son. She wasn't sprouting any pin feathers. Neither you ain't a growing no wings. I tell you, I'm so sick of this mess. Everywhere you go, you see angels. I mean, that's God with their hey, everybody setting them around in the houses and in the churches. We do not have wings.
Amen.
And for you Kentucky folk, we don't have wings.
Amen.
She said asleep just proved her imperfections. She hadn't arrived yet. Neither of you and neither have I. Son, we're human. We make mistakes. We're going to fall short of what God wants us to be. And son, I'll tell you what, if you say by the grace of God, you'd be like a Timex watch, son. You take a licking and keep on a ticking every time.
Woo!
For a righteous man falls seven times, God will raise him up. I ain't lost you now, have I? Somebody said, preacher, do you mean, what do you mean? Hey, in Luke 9:54, you don't need to turn there. We're not going to turn this morning. We're just going to hit them and run. In Luke 9:54, when Jesus in Luke 9:9, he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem, and he had to go through one of the city of the Samaritans, and they received him not because his face was as if he would go to Jerusalem. Hey, they wouldn't receive him. You know what old Peter and John, old James and John done? Sons of Thunder, boy, real spiritual. Laid his head on Christ's bosom. I'm talking about full up of God. Had all kind of God. He said, Lord, you want us to call fire down out of heaven and burn them all up and send them to hell? That's exactly what he said. You want us to call fire out of heaven and confine this crowd to hell where they ought to be. I'm going to tell you, that's the attitude of most Baptists today. Oh, if they don't look just right, their hair's a little long, or they got an earring in their ear, they ain't dressed just like you want to send them to hell, Lord. We'll confine them to hell. I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. He said, you don't know what kind of a spirit you're of. Long way from perfection, friend. You want me to give you one just as good? Oh, Paul and Barnabas out on the trail, you know, planting churches. And Paul, I believe, was one of the most spiritual men in all the New Testament. If not the most spiritual man. Had an abundance of revelations. God had to give him a thorn in the flesh to bring a little humility in his life. Oh, but out on that trail, and they took John Mark. That was the problem. God never did call. There's a lot of John Marks God ain't never called. God called Paul and Barnabas. Oh, yes, sir. He called them, but they took John Mark. Are you listening? No, John Mark departed from them, didn't go to the work. They went out, planted their churches, came back to Antioch. Decided to go out again, and old Barnabas said, well, I'll get John Mark. Paul said, on a pig stinking eye if you get John Mark. Oh, yeah, we got to have John Mark. Oh, no. Paul said, John Mark departed from the work. Silas said, oh, but I believe he's the right kind of a boy that can help us now. Oh, Paul said, in a pig's eye, son, you go your way and I'll go mine. Arguing. Arguing like two children. Yeah. Let me ask you something. You think Paul was saved?
Yeah.
I do, friend. You think he was right in his heart toward God? I do, friend. But I'm going to tell you there's one problem there. He was asleep and awake at the same time. He has got a little drowsy right there. Wasn't perfect. Now, I'm telling you, neither are we perfect. And son, we better understand that. I'm going to tell you, if I hadn't known that about some of you, bless God, I'd have been gone a long time ago. There's been something I about lost my patience. Are you listening to me? Hey, it's time, son, that you was asleep, and I'm afraid I was a nodding awful bad. But you know what's the amazing thing about it? Just keep on serving God. And come in here on a Sunday morning, son, like a morning. Hey, so she said, I sleep. You know what you do when you sleep? You dream. You dream. Sometimes you have nightmares. But I know you dream. Somebody said, preacher, where are you going to spiritualize that? It's easy. Honey, get in the real world, some of you.
Yeah.
Souls are going to hell. And by the way, if we come back tonight, I'm preaching on the woes of hell.
Amen.
Folks are going to hell, son. Your children, some of your youngins are going to hell, sir, ma'am. Some of your children are as rebellious as hell and as worldly as a devil, and they've got a whole bunch of Adam down in them.
Amen.
New mommy's got the idea that your little sweet patooties couldn't do no harm. You better wake up. Get out of your dream world, son. Get into reality. Johnny and Susie are sinners. We're dreaming. You know what? Hey, you know what we act like? If I just dream on and let everything go, everything will eventually turn out all right. Wrong. If you don't take the bull by the horns, it ain't going to turn out right. Wake up. I sleep, but my heart waketh. Do you hear the call? Come on, don't let's dream a little. You dream when you sleep. I want to say, secondly, there's dangers when you're asleep. Huh? That's right. What about the danger? What about Peter, James, and John? Laying out yonder in that garden, and the Lord out of prayer, and He come to them and found them asleep. And He said, watch and pray! Let you fall into temptation. I'm going to tell you, son, when temptation overcomes you and your rotten, stinking flesh gives way to sin, it's when you're asleep on God. And the devil creeps up in your back door, neighbor. Are you listening? Dangers of sleeping, friend. One of them is that you'll fall into temptation. That's right. I want to say the second one is that you'll fail to detect your enemy. You know what the Lord's given the parable in Matthew 13? And He said a sower went out to sow, and then by the wayside. And then it talks about the parable of the tares and the wheat. And them servants went out and saw tares growing into wheat and went back and said, sir, master, did you not sow good seed in your field? He said, yeah. They said, well then, where did these stinking tares come from? I'm going to tell you what He said. While men slept. An enemy hath done this. Now, I'm going to tell you something, sir, ma'am. While we're asleep in the enemy, if we're not careful, he'll creep into this church and he'll throw apostates. He'll throw heretics. People claim they got something and ain't got doodiddly squat. If you ain't careful while you're sleeping, the devil will invade the premises of your heart, cast an embankment around your heart to where God will find it hard getting in and you can't get out. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm talking about while you're sleeping. You cannot recognize your enemy. Some of you still sucking cigarettes, watching television and sucking cigarettes and ain't got enough sense to know what that mess will do to you. Come on in the house, Brother Hall, trying to help us this morning. I said you sleep and you cannot recognize your enemy. Preacher, there ain't nothing wrong with a good toke on a Philip Morris. What are you doing, preacher? I'm building your stinking casket. We're going to bury you one of these days. You ever see a man die with lung cancer? You ever see a man die with lung cancer? I buried a man with a member of this church that died with lung cancer. And I've been to the hospital to see that man with both legs tied down and both arms tied down. And that man laying there in that bed, and all he could do is go, ah! 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 And then in a little while, he'd take that hand that was tied down and take that imaginary cigarette. I'm talking about a dying man!
Yeah.
Them things will flat kill you, son! Oh, no, they don't determine whether you're lost or saved. I readily agree with that. I wouldn't say for men a man can't smoke and go to heaven, but I tell you they'll put you in a premature grave, and your wife or your husband will stand over you and watch you die one of the most hellish deaths you've ever died in all your life. Throw them away! Wake up!
Amen.
And now it's time for As the World Turns with Mr. Whoremonger and Mrs. Slut. I mean, I'll try some of you men don't sit at home and watch soap operas. Shame. Can't you? Ain't you more of a man than that?
Yes.
Sit and watch a doctor's hospital or whatever it is, and all my children. Come on now.
Yes.
See, you don't know your enemy.
Right.
Yes. I wish I'd think what we was talking about in here last night about being what people have seen on TV and how into real life. And let me throw this at you. Did y'all hear the fellow Marlon Maddox for the election? Huh? Back in 1950s, Edward G. Robinson starred in a movie. They played a segment of it on Marlon Maddox's program. And there go Edward G. Robinson. Here's what he said. Let me tell you guys something, see? We're going to win this election, see? And we're going to win this election because I handpicked all you guys, see? And I set you up where you're at, see? And I'm going to see to it you get elected, see? And you know how we're going to do it, see? Said we're going to count them votes again, see? And we're going to keep counting them votes, see? And we're going to keep counting them votes till we get to count a vote and win this election, see? And I'm going to say to them, where do you think they learned that mess? Well, I'm telling you, son, history repeats itself. And you watch television over and over, you'll find history repeating itself. And you'll get caught up in all that mess. Won't charge you nothing for that. Fail to detect the enemy.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something else you'll do, friend. You'll forget about thieves and robbers.
Amen.
If the good man of the house had known what hour the thief was to come, son, he'd never went to sleep and let him break up his house.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what you're laying there. When some of he's laying there asleep, you've got valuable treasures. Just exactly like, was it Rehoboam, the son of old King Solomon? I mean, friend, who was the king that come up after him, went into the house of God and started taking and took all the treasures out of the house of God? No, Rehoboam went into the shields that were made out of gold, he made them brass.
Yeah.
Everything that was gold, he made brass.
Yeah.
Made the people think that everything was good. I mean, just, oh, but the people thought he still had the goods, but all he had was brass.
Yeah.
Because a thief had come in, son, and robbed him of the real treasures. And I'm here to tell you, while we're asleeping on God spiritually, the thief, son, is a creeping in, amen, to God, and he's a robbing the treasures of grace and the virtues of grace out of our heart, and we're sitting here like you, hallelujah. Wake up, old slugger. Now, I'm awake, preacher, my heart here. I'm asleep, but I hear everything is going, wake up, old slugger. I'm asleep, but my heart wakes. I know everything's going, well, get up while you're laying there, son. The devil is a robbing you of everything that's worthwhile in your life. And I'm trying to hurry. It's almost 1 o'clock. Hurry to God in the morning. Huh? What are you going to do? What are you going to do about the darkness while you sleep? Did you know it's dark when you're sleeping? Most of the time. Huh? As a rule, it's dark when people are asleep, right? Unless you work the dirty third. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 13. He said, in that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of your sleep. For your salvation is nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Hey. You walk honestly as in the day. You know what he's saying? Walk as though man sees everything you're doing. Because he goes on to say, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. And that is the trio of evil right there, friend. But he said, you better walk in the daylight. You better live like you live in a glass house and everybody sees everything you're doing. I'll say something to you preachers in here. You better live right, make right decisions, and do right. Because the first time you foul up, you'll stand right here. You'll stand back here and you'll go to preaching, son. And it won't be no great secret that God has pulled His little hand off of you.
Yeah.
See you, Brother Ricky. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
There's preachers all over America today that used to preach with the power of God. And church members used to sit in the pew and sing with the power of God and testify of the power of God. But the power's gone, I'm going to tell you why. Because they fell asleep and let the devil rob them of their virtues, friend. The devil of the flesh won. That darkness. Now, I've got two more little points and I'm going to close. I not only see the imperfections of the saints, but I see the inward workings of the Spirit. I sleep, but my heart waketh. Her sleeping is her imperfections, but her heart being awake is that inward working of the Spirit of God. Now listen here. She wants to, hey, she said, the voice of my beloved. But knocking. Don't leave me now. We're going to bring this thing around. The voice of my beloved. But knocking. She was asleep, friend, but not so sleepy that she could not detect. She did not have some affection for Him that could yet be stirred. Can you be stirred today? Can He put that old gospel paddle down in that cream, down in that milk of the Word of God and begin to stir it? You know what comes to the surface? How many old country boys in here, country girls? What comes to the surface when you churn milk? The cream, friend. Hey, her affections were stirred. I'm going to tell you something. You can give other people your milk, but God wants your cream. Let Him stir your affections. She is asleep, but her heart waketh. She said, I've yet got some love and affection in my heart for Him. Hallelujah to God. And when His voice, when I hear His voice, when I hear His voice, how can I help but to get up off of my bed, my sleepy bed, and go out to meet Him? Hallelujah to God. You know, listen here now. Listen here. She heard Him. She heard Him. She had some affection. She could still feel something. You know what the Bible said in Ephesians 4:19? Who being past feeling. I'm glad I'm not past feeling. Praise God. I'm glad I felt something this morning. Woo! We may be a little groggy this morning, a little dizzy, but we felt something, didn't we? We ain't, hey, we're not dead. We may be sleeping, but we ain't dead. We ain't past feeling, friend. She could, the stirrings of her affection were there. She could still hear His voice. What Jesus say in John 10, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, and my sheep do what? They hear my, and He didn't say my sheep hear my voice only when they're red hot for God. My sheep hear my voice. I read a book on that shepherd and them sheep. And it said, I forget where the place was at over in the Middle East, over there where the shepherds are, a lot of the shepherds. And he said at night in that book, they bring all the sheep into one great big corral, all of them. And he said, one fold, and all the sheep in one fold. He said the next morning real early, that every shepherd that's there may be 15, maybe 20 of them shepherds. Said that shepherd will walk up onto the hill overlooking that fold of sheep, all of them, and said all of them at the same time will begin to call, woo! Woo! And he said them little sheep will begin to come out of them. And said as that shepherd begins to walk to the pasture for the day, woo! And 20 shepherds all at the same time. And here come them little sheep. They know the voice of their shepherd, friend. And they're following right along behind Him. Hallelujah to God. And God, I'm glad. Yes, brother, and I heard His voice a little while. She was able, look here. And she was also, and look here, you think I wasn't tired when I outlined this morning, but she was able to recognize and acknowledge her I'm. Her sin. She wasn't so sound asleep, she could not say, I sleep! I've got a little sin there. Now I'm going to close with this now. Don't leave me right here. The imperfections of the saints, the inward workings of the Spirit, but I see the immaculate love of the Savior. the voice of my beloved that knocketh. You know what he said? Open unto me! Not somebody else, but open unto me! You know why he could say open unto me? This is my house! I live here! I bought it! I built it! It's mine! That's why he can say, open unto me, friend, you're his.
Amen.
Open unto me. And look here, look here. Look how he beckons her. Look how he beckons her. Open unto me. My sister. My spouse. My dove. And then he puts a word in there that he's never used in Solomon. He said, my undefiled. Can you see the condescension, the grace there? She's asleep, but yet she is undefiled in the eyes of God. There's no spot in you, he said. Your sins are gone. Son, there's both sides of the fence, and I'm not ready, bless God, up on this bed to ever run and fit. You get a hold of that.
Amen.
How he beckons her. Open unto me.
Amen.
Now listen to this. He beckons with his voice. But then he said, she said, open unto me. She said, it is the voice. Now wait a minute, of my beloved.
Amen.
Oh, I wish I had that hammer. He beckons with a voice, but I'm going to tell you something else. You know how he knocks? Oh, boy. You're asleep. You're asleep. You're asleep, but I'm going to keep knocking. How you going to knock, Lord? I'm going to knock with the Word of God. Just keep on knocking with the Word of God. And keep on preaching the Word of God. Keep on knocking with the Word of God. And like a hammer, just like a hammer, just like a hammer, I keep on knocking in one of these days. That heart of yours. This is the voice of my beloved. His word beckons her. His willingness blesses her.
Amen.
My sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. Son, don't that bless you this morning?
Amen.
My God, that ought to make a dead Presbyterian get happy. Church, as dead as we've been in here before in the last year or so, and it was so tight and dry and dead, I couldn't even preach. And look how it was this morning. Does that not thrill your soul to know that it's the voice of our beloved that knocketh? And he said, open unto me, my sister, my spouse, my dove, my undefiled. I know you've been asleep. I know you're dead. I know you're dry last year's bird's nest, but I still love you. I'm still a knocking at the door. Hallelujah to God. I still love you. I still love you. Hallelujah. Yes, Brother Wells. Somebody said, I've never been that way, you lying devil. His word beckons her. His willingness blesses her. Now listen to this, and I don't have an alliteration for this. But he said, you open unto me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head filled with the dew of heaven, and my locks with the drops of the night. Come on in the house, children, let me show you something. That's not talking about the power of God and stuff. When I first read, I thought, talking about, hey, you know anybody else in the Bible that God sent out to eat
to eat the grass like a beast. The Bible said that the dew of heaven filled his hair. The drops of the night were in his locks. I'm talking about Nebuchadnezzar for him. And you know why? The dew of the night, he had been turned out into judgment. I'm going to tell you why. Hey, the dews and the drops of Jesus suffering for you and I. He said, I'm at your door. I'm the one that has suffered for you and paid the price for you. Can you get a hold of that? My hair is like the dew of the night that's filled up. Oh, and like the drops of the night in thy locks. I've suffered for you. I love you. I paid the price for you. If I love you so much that I go to Calvary, I will not forsake you now. Bless your heart. He ain't going to forsake us. If you'll just look. Now look here. You've got the door between you and Him, and you're going to... Somebody said, well, I don't see all that suffering. Open the door. Calvary's mountain. One dreadful morn walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, paying for sinners death on the cross that He might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, open the door. Seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding for sinners, pleading, blind like a little old female sheep, unheeding, dying for me. You see His pierced head this morning in the crown of thorns. Can you see the wounded side out of which come both blood and water? Behold my hands and my feet. Stick your finger, Thomas, into the nail print. In the hands of... Thrust your fist into my side! Be not unbelieving. You see the cat of nine tails across his lovely back. You see Him as He hangs on the cross and drinks your life, bitter cup of sin for you. And while He hangs in such agony of body and travail of soul, He lifts up His blessed eyes and looks into the face of the Father and cries, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that He might fulfill all Scripture, He cried, I thirst! And His tongue clave to the roof of His mouth, and no doubt when He cried, He said, I thirst! I thirst! And He dropped that head in the... bowed that head very reverently. It didn't just swoon. He bowed His head and said, it is finished. He gave out the ghost, and I'm here to tell you the rocks were rent in twain and darkness filled the earth, my friend. And that centurion that pierced His side looked into His face and said, surely this is the Son of God.
I tell you on authority of the Bible, this Christ I'm preaching today, He is the Son of God. And He's got power to save unto the uttermost. Oh, that'll come unto God by Him. Yes! I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, "Open unto me, open to me, my sister, my spouse, my dove, sister, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, spouse, intimate relationship." Dove, purity, undefiled, no spot, friend.
Amen.
For my head is filled with the dew of heaven, my locks with the drops of the night. I've suffered for you. I love you. I'll awaken you. Will thou arise? Come away with me.
Amen.
The winter's past. The rain has stopped falling.
Right.
Birds are singing the flowers.
Yeah.
I'm trying to shut up, but boy, I'm too much God. Too much God! A lot of God in here this morning, Brother Shelby. One of them times a man could physically hurt himself. Anybody here hearing knocking?